Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome. It is time for Wednesday Wisdom Radio Show with Deborah Leanne. And I am still not back into any kind of, work mode or routine after being gone last weekend at a really amazing conference, the Modern Femme Movement. And the experience was a different one for me because I was actually a speaker and led two different workshops, one on Friday, one on Saturday. And it was the combination of that plus the closeness that I felt with some of the other speakers and some of the attendees that I shared meals with, two local people who we shared a hotel room together. That was, you know, nice to be with women on that level of intimacy that I had never spent much time with before ever. So I'm just coming back into my space, you know, filling up my typical quiet and solitude, and regaining my semblance of me, right? That sent me, this introvert girl, somewhat off balance. And I was careful to recognize that and realize when I needed to just go to the room and recharge versus go hang out in the conference space much longer. So every day I took a bit of time and went off on my own, which was my way of tapping back in. So I had started today blogging a bit around the topic of mothering and martyrdom. It's interesting how we all have some idea that was drummed into our heads about the way we wanted to parent and the way we didn't want to parent based on how we were parented. And the mothering that we received or that we noticed our friends' mothers, their model of mothering, we put all kinds of bookmarks into our system about, I want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to do more of that, not so much of that. And we thought when we became mothers that we would have it all together. We had no idea, did we? For those of us who have taken the path of motherhood, it is not, I don't think it's ever something that we could be prepared for. And all of the judgments that I made, I'll speak for myself, that I made about what was good parenting and what wasn't good parenting, and was it better to stay at home from work and put your career on hold and focus on your children, or was it better to support the family by leaving the children every day in some type of child care? I left mine when they were really little. I had a work project, and it was part-time, but it was a training thing that I really wanted to do, and I loved. Yet that meant that I had a nanny come to the house. That, to me, seemed the most appropriate. And I was back to work a few weeks after my youngest was born. So I'm, you know, and the nanny came running out to the car, I'll never forget this, to say, Kirsten just started crawling. She just got up on her hands and knees. And I remember thinking, I want to get out of the car and go back in the house and see this major developmental step that she just took, right? And I said, thanks for letting me know. And I burst into tears and I backed out of the garage and I went to work. So it's that tearing of, do we do this because I want to do this, or do we do this because my family needs me to, or do we do this because our kids are saying, don't go, Mommy, don't go? Or, you know, where do we fall, and where is the for me, it felt like we didn't have a choice, that once we were a mother, we had to be selfless. And when the baby cried, you ran to the baby and picked the baby up and fed or changed or sang and soothed or whatever was needed, right? We gave up that moment that we might have been doing something else to go be a mother, to do our mothering duty, right? And to me, it felt like active duty, literally. Like I'd signed up for this. Yes, I said I wanted to be a mom, and I became a mom, and I felt like I was in boot camp, especially the beginning part. But I didn't have an idea of how to do it any better. And I know that there were times where I felt resentful. I felt like, how can I be me and, you know, pull my breast out and feed this baby when I'd really rather have a glass of wine or go out to dinner or get back into my old clothes or whatever. And what I'm trying to say is I didn't know any other way at the time. And if I knew now, if I knew what I knew now then, I wonder how mothering would have had so much more pleasure, so much more love and connection, and it would have maybe been more of a state of grace for me versus I have to do this. And my children need me to do this, and my husband needs me to do this, and the house needs this. And I looked at my life as being like I was in jail. And that's my experience. I am not saying that others share that same experience, but I have heard a lot of comments that sound like we put our lives on hold for our children, our family, our loved ones. And what I'm wanting to bring awareness to is there another way? Is there a way to live fully, creatively, in an inspired way, giving our gifts to the world through whatever creative outlet that would be, our work, our career, our volunteering, our belonging, you know, in the community, whatever our roles are, all of our many roles, how can we not be defined by those and we define what it looks like for us, right? This conference, what I loved is that they said that success looks great on me, meaning every one of us gets to define what that success looks like. And it's true. Every one of us gets to decide, what does mothering look like? And there's a way to love and be there and be a mother without losing ourselves. And that is the key. So, interestingly, I've had not only in just one of the workshops that was about overcoming overwhelm I did on Saturday, but recently one of my coaching clients was struggling. She's an entrepreneur. She has a couple of small children, and her husband travels every week, Sunday through Friday. And having to run that household and a business, she's successful too, and, you know, getting her small children to school every day, getting their homework done and fed and bathed and all of that stuff in the evenings left her little time to focus on her business. And so she, as soon as they went to bed, she would stay up for another 2 or 3 hours to try to get things done, to get the house in order, to get her work commitments completed. And one of the times she said she would be so annoyed was her daughter kept interrupting her after school. She needed help with homework. And she would sit at the kitchen table while this woman was also sitting with her trying to do things on the computer. you know, working on emails or whatever. And the daughter kept interrupting because she needed help. And I said, what if you gave her an hour every day after school and just sat with her, drank a cup of tea, was totally present with your daughter, what would that be like for you and for her? And it's totally shifted. It's allowing the daughter to get her mom's attention. She needs less of it now. And she doesn't need to do any acting out during the process. She's learning that she can have her mom's attention without any of the other attention-getting kinds of things that she used to do. And her mom is finding this time as a breather in the middle of her day, a time to really notice how beautiful her daughter is, to connect and just be still, to work on something of her own that is maybe journaling, right? Maybe just, you know, she's off the computer, so she's figuring out a way to, can she just sit and read a book? Can she sit and write out her gratitudes? And it puts that state of grace into mothering that I wish I would have planned more of when my children were little. Because when we're multitasking and trying to, I remember this, you know, it was always when we were trying to get dinner on the table, the kids were tired from being at school, they had stuff they had to get done, but they were at their end of their energy until they had food in their, and I wouldn't let them have a snack, right, because I wanted them to eat dinner. So it was all of these things waiting for Daddy to get home, and then the excitement of him coming home, and it just turned our household upside down every single day. A friend of mine used to call it sour hour, which I think is funny versus, you know, what we talk about happy hour going out for drinks, right? Well, this was definitely not happy hour in our house. And you would have thought that after a year or two of doing that, we would have found another way versus turning on a TV show or something else for the kids to numb them out. And now I'm thinking, what would it have been like to not be trying to prepare a major meal? What if we did something simpler? Or what if I prepared it earlier in the day? Or what if they helped me prepare it? That's what I started doing as they got older. And after my divorce, I would say, please come and hang out with me in the kitchen while I'm fixing dinner. In fact, why don't you make the salad? And your sister can do the table. And we would have such a nice bonding time because we were creating the meal together. I didn't feel resentful. They got a chance to, when they're working side by side with me, it was easier for them to share what their day was like with me. So I'd get to hear a little bit more about what their inner workings were at the time, you know, as teenagers or preteens. Those moments stick out. Those moments where I feel like I parented well. I mothered in a way that was taking care of me and them. So I didn't feel like I'm down here making dinner, nobody's down here to help, you know, all of that stuff. And I know this is my stuff. I'm really sharing with you truthfully because it was a tough time for me. And especially as a single mom, and how many single moms are out there trying to do it all themselves. And they rarely interact with their children in a way that says, you know what, I just need some help. I'm tired. I've been working all day. And what would it be like to say, you know what, I've had a rough day. I'm going to go take 15, 20 minutes and go take a walk around the block. Would you do me a favor and watch the noodles as they boil to make sure that they don't boil over or turn them off when they're done and go recharge me so that I could be a better mom when I came back? I did used to say that. When I would go to retreats or whatever, they would be like, Mommy, where are you going and why are you going to be gone overnight? And I would say, you know what, I'm going to be a better mommy. When I come back, I'll be a better mommy. And it did. The retreat piece that I, you know, tapped into while I was away stayed with me for a little while, but it doesn't last forever. What I needed to learn how to do was to tap in and find that peace within me when I needed it, not when it was scheduled on the calendar to be done in 6 months. So my point is, around this month of May, when we've been talking about the mother energy, how can more of us who are mothers, or, and it might be four-legged children, or it might be grandmothers, your children might be grown and gone, or, you know, you still have children at home. Where is the self-care for you so that your light and your love is recharged within and you are filled up with that, and from that shine your light and love out into the world? Connecting from a place of wholeness allows us to have that true intimate connection that we so desire. And where are we getting in our own way by overly protecting, hiding, distancing, or trying so hard to people please that we want so much to connect and belong that we actually create a boomerang effect? You know, we're sending these energies out like, connect with me, and it feels not so good, and it might bounce off of the person that we so want to connect with. So where is it that you could tune in more starting today, turn on more, and turn it up in a way that allows that light that's glowing from your inside out to be your magnetic attraction force, right? And what could be a simple way to tap into that? Not just once in the morning during meditation, but maybe every time you go to the bathroom and you look in the mirror, give yourself a wink, take a deep breath. When you're standing in line, to rock back and forth and remember your energy, breathing deeply into it so that we can recharge, right? I loved that at this conference, the first keynote, kicked it off with a big talk around oxytocin and the importance of that connecting chemical within our bodies. And what would it be like if we gave ourselves a shot of oxytocin to connect ourself to ourself, you know, to connect our mind and body and heart and spirit, to connect from within, so we're not just these little jangled pieces of a person trying to change the world with little tiny shards of what is just of your powerhouse. We cannot be the powerful light and be living a passion and purpose-filled life if we are not full of our own power. And every time we scatter it to the winds like seeds from a dandelion that we've just blown off, it's keeping us from our most powerful self. It's keeping us from doing what we're here to do. And it's keeping us stuck. And we wonder why we can't see a way out. So let's do a quick tune in and getting present, and we'll end with it today. And maybe from here there will be some words of wisdom that come through to you when you practice on your own. So if you're in a space that you can, put your feet flat on the floor and close your eyes, and we're going to drop in. And we'll begin with some good breaths in through the nose, allowing your belly to get full, and then breathing out through the mouth. Ha. We'll do two more, in through the nose, letting the belly expand, and out through the mouth. Ha. And the last. through the nose. Yes. Moving our hips side to side or back and forth in our seat. Just wiggling a little bit to find that perfect seat, that perfect support for us. Reminding ourselves that we are safe in this moment. Feeling your feet really heavy, pulling into Mother Earth's crust and fully taking advantage of the gravity, not just that always holds us when we are not conscious of it, but really being conscious of it, knowing that we're on this earth for a reason. Letting our spirit have a tether that holds it down here so we can do our work on this realm. And then going to our heart, opening it wide, dropping our shoulders back onto our back, allowing the light that is in between our hip bones to shine to the front and the back, and from our heart to shine out the front and the back. Breathing in even more energy so those lights can get even brighter. And that beautiful infinity figure eight that allows our creative power center to be attached to our heart and throat, and it just winds around and spirals around. Calling back all of our attention to this moment so that we can be fully present. And then allowing the sun, moon, star, light, golden light to come in through the top of our heads. Just cleansing our third eye for more divine inspiration to be seen and available to us. Cleansing our ears so that we can hear even more what is available and asking for us to know right now that if we did know it, would create the change that we so want to see. Allowing our throats and our jaw to be long and open so that we can express our value to the world. Yes. And letting those systems run, charging, refueling, rejuvenating, renewing. Yeah, resetting our system. From this space, just take a moment and ask, what is it that I need to know that if I did know it, would change the way I activate my mother energy on this planet? Whether or not you are a mother in this moment doesn't matter. We all have mother energy. How can we bring it forth to nurture, to create, to love? And to change. I mean, think of it. Mother Nature is all about change. She just lets it flow right from her with such grace. And we fight change so often. What can we embrace and allow to change right now, especially with this spectacular full moon coming this weekend? Other part of us wants to come forth to allow us to be our best self. And let's just plant those seeds and say yes to them. And let's see what happens. And as you go forth in your day, stay in touch and in tune with you and your light as much as possible. We need each of us to bring our lights forward so that we can recognize and come together and truly create the change that we want to see and be on this planet. Take excellent care of yourself, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.